KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. If you are pregnant today, you could get a test that would map the entire genome of your unborn child. And that map would tell you if your baby has Down syndrome or a gene that increases their odds of breast cancer or Alzheimer's. But new gene technology raises ethical questions. Science writer Bonnie Rockman examines those questions in her book, Gene Machine, How Genetic Technologies Are Changing the Way We Have Kids and the Kids We Have. Rockman told me about people struggling with genetic testing, like Sophie Schieffer-Gold. Her son Isaac was born healthy, but then his health took a turn.
He was diagnosed with a disease called Canavan disease, and that particular disease is a really, really terrible. When I met him, he was 14 months old. He couldn't sit up, and babies are able to do that.
Yeah, a year and 2 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, much sooner than that.
Yeah.
He couldn't hold up his head.
Yeah.
So it's a neurological disorder caused by the lack of an enzyme that eats away at the white matter in the brain, and kids die young. Isaac died before he was two. And Sophie Schieffer was not screened for this disease, even though she is Ashkenazi Jewish of Eastern European heritage. And I tell the story in the book of how she wasn't screened for this disease because there's a lack of awareness among so many physicians about which tests are needed for which people, because for a long time, carrier screening has been done based on ethnicity. And even when it's done based on ethnicity, not all the same tests are offered to all the same people. So now there's a move to embrace something called expanded carrier screening, which is testing for a large number of diseases. That genetic technology now allows us to do that from the same blood sample and test for a large number of diseases and test all people for the same sorts of diseases, because we're such a melting pot these days that someone from Nigeria can be married to someone from Poland and they can have a baby, and they, you know, bloodlines get muddled and mingled. Like Madeleine Albright didn't know that she had Jewish heritage.
Yeah.
So relying on ethnicity is really an increasingly outdated approach.
And what do we know? Did you talk to the Gold family about what they might have done had they gotten that screening? Is it Canavan?
Yeah. Right. If they would have known, they would have had a couple of options. So they could have made embryos through IVF technology, assisted reproduction, and they could have actually screened those embryos to see which of them did not have the disease and then transfer only the healthy ones. So that is the technology that's available. Of course, it costs money and you can't make babies the way most people make babies. So you have to have the assistance of a fertility doctor. But it's a way to ensure that you will not pass on this genetic disease, this fatal genetic disease, to your children. Another option could have been for them to do prenatal testing during the pregnancy to find out if the baby had the disease, and then at that point, people, depending on their own personal moral convictions, sometimes decide not to continue a pregnancy, particularly in a case where it's a disease where the child won't have any kind of meaningful quality of life.
So the Gold's child died very early.
Yeah, it was really, really agonizing.
A year and a half.
Yeah, Sophie Schieffer was holding out hope that that Isaac would be different. There are some kids who do live into their teens, but they don't live into their teens unaffected, and they're wheelchair bound, and you really couldn't consider it a good quality of life. But he didn't even make it to preschool.
There are concerns with how much information we're able to get before we have a child. I'm thinking of the Down syndrome community. They're very, very concerned about what is it that they're most concerned
about?
Well,
there are new tests that that have come online within the past 5-6 years. They're called non-invasive prenatal testing. And the way things used to be, you could only determine something like Down syndrome in the second trimester. And it was determined through an invasive test, something like an amniocentesis, a needle in the belly, or another procedure that can be done a bit earlier, but also has a very small but still present risk of miscarriage. And in any case, super unpleasant. Mm-hmm. So these non-invasive prenatal screens screenings are non-invasive, so that people, a lot of people are excited about that. It's just a blood draw. And it's done around 10 weeks of pregnancy. So that is long before, or significantly before, most women are even showing. You can't even tell visibly that a woman is pregnant at that point.
And it's a highly reliable test?
That's a great question. It's very reliable, but the reliability shifts depending on age and some other factors. So, for example, if you would get a positive result, it would still need to be confirmed via one of these invasive tests. Oh. But it gives you a very good indication of whether your fetus has Down syndrome or a few other conditions. So, as you can imagine, people in the Down syndrome community, parents who have children with Down syndrome, are really concerned about that. They feel that as a society, we're more equipped than ever to welcome and to care for people who have Down syndrome. There is research going on. There are lots of resources. There's a lot of awareness about the importance of basically being good to people with special needs and having respect for people with special needs and incorporating them into schools, inclusion, immersion, all sorts of things like that. And so at the same time that if you're going to have Down syndrome, there's never been a better time. At the same moment, you now have these tests that are able to detect it earlier than ever in pregnancy, giving women the option to end their pregnancies sooner than ever. So you know, parents who have kids with Down syndrome are worried that their numbers of people with Down syndrome are going to shrink.
And even the idea that, oh, we're going to be able to weed out this terrible problem, that kind of runs counter to the idea of looking for who these people are instead of how they're different.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people, it's a very personal decision. Every parent I have spoken to who has a child with Down syndrome doesn't consider Down syndrome to be a terrible problem. They love their child just the way he or she is. So, like so much of what I discuss in the book, this testing and what the testing can reveal, the calculations that arise because of this testing is very personal and very individual. Different people make different choices, and they might make different choices at different times in their life.
The book is Gene Machine, and it's written by a local science writer, Bonnie Rockman. How are these genetic tests changing parenting?
Well, it really depends on your mentality. So if you think about how you relate to information, what kind of person are you? Do you like a lot of information? If you're going out and you have to buy a washer and dryer, do you do tons of research and survey all your friends on Facebook and check out Consumer Reports for the past 12 months?
Some people are frozen by that.
Yes. Yes. And some people feel like, oh, my God, too much information. I'm walking into Home Depot. Let me, the first thing I see, if they say it's good, I'll buy that. So they don't want all that information. They find it almost suffocating. So genetic testing and the evolution of all these tests and the availability of all these tests at every stage of pregnancy is really changing parenting because it is presenting parents with a lot of decisions that they have never had before. So when my mother gave birth to me 44 years ago, she had to go to the doctor for a pregnancy test. They didn't even have over-the-counter pregnancy tests. And then you wait for 9 months and see what you get. You didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
So there were really no decisions to be made. And so now the more access to information we have, the more decisions that have to be made. So as a result, some people actually decline all of this prenatal testing. They just don't want to deal with it.
So maybe it's not as simple as the coming screening and sequencing. It's not about whether it's good or bad. It really depends on what you do with it.
Yes, I completely agree with that. What one person thinks is good, another person thinks is bad. As is true with pretty much anything. You may like vanilla ice cream and I can't stand it. So it really, I think it just, you have to go into this with your eyes wide open. And I think that is one of the messages of the book, which is we're living in this incredible time, this incredible era of information where we have access to all this data that we have never had before about our children, both before they're born, during pregnancy, after they're born. And it's important to fully understand what you're getting into. So I put in a plug for genetic counselors who are really able to help people navigate all these new tests and understand the scope of what they might be signing up for.
And yet, I'm still curious about you, Bonnie, one person who you immersed yourself in all this information. Did you personally come away changed in how you look at parenting and birthing and our ability to know?
Well, as a journalist, I love information. I thrive on information. I don't find it overwhelming. I find it empowering. And I think that I've come away from all of this just really being awed by the potential and the power of science and of technology to help us peer into our genomes and those of our children. And the important thing is to go in with eyes wide open and to use this technology carefully and with an awareness of where red lines might be. So there's a lot of talk about a lot of concern over the potential for gene editing and genome editing in embryos or egg cells or sperm cells. And is that appropriate? And what would that mean? And I think that it's important to keep having these conversations about the human condition and how tests can help us gain insight into who we are and how our bodies function.
Local science writer Bonnie Rockman has written the book, The Gene Machine, How Genetic Technologies Are Changing the Way We Have Kids and the Kids We Have. And Bonnie will be speaking at Town Hall tomorrow night at 7:30, Town Hall, Seattle.